Welcome to the Asylum. And now, your hosts, Rick Flieger and Rick Riggs.
Draft week is upon us, Rick. Welcome to the Asylum Fantasy Sports Show at AsylumFantasySports.com. And if it's any week that fantasy owners are like little kids waiting for Christmas, it's this week right here.
Oh, this beats the hell out of Christmas. It really does.
It's terrible. But, welcome into the Asylum. We're Flieger and Briggs. Drop us a line. The question's coming in. I know there's some of you probably already done your draft, but there's a lot of you that are waiting for this weekend, which is a smart thing to do. I love people taking flyers on Josh Gordon. Yeah, didn't work.
Yeah, we're going to get into that a little bit. That's got my ire. Get those questions in at Asylum Football. And you know what, Rick? What the heck? Here's the phone number, 646-478-4679. If you're listening live and have a question, give us a call, 646-478-4679.
Yes, indeed. And drop us a line, asylumfootball@gmail.com, asylumfantasysports@gmail.com. Ah, gee, I think we got all the house cleaning stuff out of the way. We're going to have a phone call here in a little bit. Friend of ours, Steve Gallo from USA Today, being here for just about 5 minutes or so.
Big announcement.
Yeah, he's getting something going, and we wanted to help spread the word a little bit.
That's right. Also, check out, if you need a magazine to take to your draft, don't take that crap you bought back in May. Hop on over to Amazon. Look up the Pro Football Preview Guide, written by our boy, the Fantasy Greek, Jim. I always screw up his
Sarantias.
Last name. Jim Sarantias. With a Steelers preview and fantasy preview from your boy, Rick Flieger. Check that out at Amazon.com. And Rick, making the announcement, next week, live on these here airways, we will be doing the second annual Asylum Fantasy Football Listener League Draft. So if you want in the league, real simple, hit us up on Twitter, at Asylum Football. Let us know you want in, and first 10 or 11 of you, however it works out, you're in.
Yeah, or drop us a line at asylumfantasysports@gmail.com and say listener league in the subject line or in the message. Hey, I want to be in the listener league, and we will mark you down. First come, first serve. There actually is an Asylum prize pack that goes to the winner of the league. Unfortunately, people out there think that it doesn't exist, but the fact is we have not given it out. Why, Rick?
Because no one can beat Rick Briggs.
That's it, buddy. That's it. So if you want to try your luck against the old ball coach.
Oh, God.
Let's
here we
do
go.
It.
Now he's calling himself the old.
I don't know.
The wrong one. Mikel.
I think this is last week.
There it is, but he had the volume down too far. So let's try it again, Mikel.
Oh, geez.
There it is.
That's just pathetic.
Great job, Mikel. Yeah. Fine producing once again. We need to find some other third world country and try to find somebody else who produces this show for free. Rick, so back to the Listener League. 12-team PPR, 2 RB, 3 wide receiver, a running back, wide receiver, tight end, flex, 5 point per passing touchdown. If you want in that league, we will have a trophy. The very elusive Asylum Fantasy Football prize pack will go to the winner if you can wrestle it from Rick's cold, dead hands, which is more than likely to be true by the time this football season ends.
Yeah, you keep hoping so that way you don't get your – you know what, handed to you every time. But anyway,
no, I don't know what.
It is fantasy draft week, Rick. And I tell you what, a lot's happened this week.
Yeah.
That is not good, really.
Right. Let's start out the headlines. The news that just broke this afternoon. Josh Gordon does get the full season suspension, the 16-game suspension. As you mentioned, Rick, bad news for anybody who drafted early and took a flyer on him. I would have recommended taking a flyer on him. I thought for all the world it was going to get reduced just based on how long it was taking. Now, time to go ahead and cut him, and I think bad times are coming for that Cleveland Browns offense.
Yeah, I do too. Yeah, I mean, it was worth the chance with a flyer. I mean, the upside was there, and that's the thing, what's called risk and reward. So, you know, the risk outweighed the reward on this one. But what really gets me, Rick...
Hold up, Rick.
Why?
Oh, never mind. We're back. I thought we were off the air there for a minute.
Keep your fingers on the table and quit pecking around. Yeah,
the studio, I swear the studio just disappeared from my desktop. I don't know where it went, then it popped right back up. I thought we were going to be starting all over again. But I'm sorry, back to your point.
But what really irritates me is the fact that they took so long for this appeal. Because what it does, as you know, he played, you know, in the training camp and some preseason and so forth. What it does when they said, nope, we're going to uphold the suspension starting immediately. So now from today until a calendar year next year, which means he's not going to be ready for the regular season next year either. So now not only is he going to miss 16 games this year, ideally, if they're smart, you know, they'll give him a couple of, at least a couple of weeks of practice and training.
Or he's a pulled hamstring waiting to happen
exactly.
If they don't.
So, I mean, you're realistically looking 18, 19-game suspension.
Might as well be. And my question is, for what reason? The reason I recommended so strongly to take this flyer on Josh Gordon, the fact that it took 4 weeks to make the decision on us on this appeal told me there was some sort of mitigating circumstance that was holding this thing up. In my opinion, if these mitigating circumstances exist, because look, it's a flat rule, no thought, no process. If you violate it for the second, third time, whatever time this was, you violate this drug policy, it's a one-year suspension. Being with the collective bargaining agreement, being that it's America, he gets the opportunity to appeal the suspension. For it to take 4 weeks, there had to be some mitigating circumstances. Thus, in my opinion, it should have been reduced. If you were just going by the letter of the law, it didn't take 4 weeks to make that decision. And Roger Goodell and the NFL should be ashamed of themselves for the way this was handled. I have no issue with the suspension. These guys signed up for it. It's in the CBA. They know the drug policy. Then he went out and got himself a DUI while he was appealing this. So I'm not weeping for Josh Gordon. But the Browns got jobbed, Rick. And to your point, now they're going to miss it, lose him for the first part of next year, all the off-season program, most of the preseason. He's not going to be physically ready for week one. It's a joke the way this thing was handled.
It was a horrible joke gone wrong. Number one, when it first went down, he should have been suspended. He shouldn't have been playing preseason games and so forth. When he appealed it, and they made the decision, and then they decide to uphold it, it should have been from the time that he was initially suspended for a year.
Right, retroactive.
And instead of this pandering around, letting him play, people thinking he's going to play, or to your point, he's going to maybe get a reduced sentence, and so forth. And it's just ridiculous. Now, all of a sudden, here it is, the week before the season starts. Oh, by the way, it starts now.
Yeah.
So,
and it's a calendar year, remember, not
right.
16 games. It's a calendar year.
Exactly, which means mini camp, training camp, preseason next year.
Preseason 1-3. He's coming back this week, coming back today, next year,
yeah.
Right before the fourth and
right.
Final preseason game.
So, and that's just terrible.
Yeah.
It should have at least been retroactive back to when it started.
Right, and I agree with that 100%. Rick, moving on, the Patriots trade Logan Mankins to Tampa Bay for tight end Tim Wright. An interesting move there, great move for Tampa Bay. What are the plans for Tim Wright up there with Gronk looking healthy and ready to go?
Well, that's one thing that we've talked on, you know, other shows and just amongst ourselves off air. You know, maybe at first blush it looks like, well, maybe the Patriots aren't all that confident that Gronk's, you know, healthy or maybe going to stay healthy. But on the same token, talking to a good friend of ours that knows football as well, I was talking this afternoon, and he brought up an interesting point. Maybe Tim Wright's being brought in to take over the role of Aaron Hernandez and have a two-headed tight end monster.
And if you remember, at one time, Gronk was the best tight end in the league, and Hernandez was probably five, Rick, right?
Yeah.
Five or six
right.
in fantasy scoring. Tim Wright showed those flashes. He could be that type of tight end. He was an every-week start for a 6-7 week stretch last year in 2013. So I like the move. I think it's a good move for both squads. Obviously, Tampa Bay needed help on the offensive line. I think this helps Doug Martin's value a little bit. It at least makes that offensive line. I mean, look, this guy has been the escort service for Tom Brady for how many years? You know, helps out McCown, definitely helps out that running game. So a good move for Tampa Bay. And what Belichick can do with the and Brady can do with that tight end position, I like the idea. And Tim Wright's a guy I'm going to have my eye on. He's probably still going to be a waiver wire guy. I'm not sure if I have the guts to pull the trigger in the draft, but I'll be watching. And I wouldn't mind spending a few waiver acquisition dollars on a guy like Tim Wright if he can fill that Hernandez role, you know, without all the murder and stuff.
Well, yeah. Yeah, we don't want him going out killing people, but I'm not sure exactly what the plan is for Tim Wright, and I don't, you know, from what I saw with Tim Wright last year at Tampa, he seems more than capable. Whether or not he's going to be used like an Aaron Hernandez, I'm not sure. It's not the easiest offense in the world to learn. I mean, ask Chad Johnson, but you know.
Apparently neither is the Montreal Alouettes thing, using that argument.
That's a good point. But anyway, I'm not rushing out to get Tim Wright because I don't think it's going to be anything immediate. You know, I mean, I think he's going to obviously get some playing time and so forth. I think it's going to take a little while for him really to work into it. I may be wrong. Who knows? What's Brady throw two touchdowns to him? I don't know. But who knows what the hoodie will have in store for him.
Yeah, you just never know.
I think it's going to be really good for Tampa, though.
Right. Oh, no question about it. So Stephen Gostkowski breathes a big sigh of relief, Rick, for the third straight year. He will be the first kicker drafted as Matt Prater catches a suspension for having a few beers on vacation here this summer. It doesn't sound like a big deal, but I guess you got to know better, right?
Yeah, apparently. So
what is it with kickers and being drunks? Janikowski's just a miserable drunk, isn't he? Who was the kid, Jeff Reed, that used to kick for the Steelers? He'd like to get hammered and destroy gas stations and the such. Something about the kicker position. It must be more stressful than it looks because they all seem to be horrible, horrible drunks.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on with Prater there. Obviously, he wasn't allowed to have alcohol.
Right. So, again, I don't weep for him.
No. So, there you have that.
Simple as that. Sticking Le'Veon Bell, LeGarrette Blount, right the minute we ended the show last week, it came out that those two were driving around getting high, got arrested for it. Haven't been suspended yet. It looks like Mike Tomlin, he must consider preseason games punishments because he says he doesn't expect his starters to play, but these two will play on tomorrow against the Panthers. Something I find interesting, Rick, I was under the belief from the moment this happened that Tomlin was going to suspend these guys and try to get out ahead of the NFL. I'm wondering now because the third guy in that depth chart, at least per watching the preseason games, was this Taurean Poole. They cut him yesterday. So I'm wondering, is Tomlin going to suspend these guys? Is he going to try and stagger a suspension maybe, suspend one for week one, another for week two? I don't know if the NFL put up with that. That's a situation I'm interested in. I thought for sure Tomlin would suspend them immediately. Not rushing to do that and cut what looked like to be the number three guy on that roster this week.
And what's the NFL going to do?
Right. I think they're going to have to wait till it's all settled in the courts, and that could be well into the season, if not over the summer.
Well, yeah, look at Marshawn Lynch when they had that hanging over.
Oh, that DUI went on for a year and a half.
Yeah,
it was a never-ending DUI.
Yeah, so who only knows? I mean, you basically have Bell, Blount, and Archer, and that's your backfield.
Right, and I don't think Archer, if these two were to be suspended week one, you're not going to have a running game. Archer's not going to be a between-the-tackles runner. I love what he can do in that role coming out of the slot and catching passes, but he's not a guy who's going to have a lot of rushes this year.
Right, exactly.
Moving on, Wes Welker not certain to start week one after suffering his third concussion in 10 months. I think this is a guy on the decline, Rick.
Yeah, I mean, we said that before. I said it even before this concussion that I think his decline is going to be steady. It may not be just a total fall off a cliff, but I think Wes Welker, he's got some tough miles on him, and I think you're going to see a steady decline with him.
One guy you've been real high on, Rick, a guy you have really been targeting here in this offseason has been Kenny Britt, and now looks like Sam Bradford out for the year, tears that ACL. I think we know what it does to the quarterback position there. I don't think that's anybody you're looking at. But how do you think that affects Tavon Austin, Zach Stacy, Kenny Britt, and the rest of the skill position players on that Rams offense?
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. I've seen so little of Sean Hill. I mean, I can't really evaluate the guy. We all scoffed when Cutler went down last year and Josh McCown come in and lit it up with Chicago. I'm not looking for that from Sean Hill, to be honest with you.
All right, Rick, looks like we have a call on the line. I believe it's our old buddy Steve Gala.
All right, Steve, you there?
I sure am. Thanks for having me on the show, guys.
All right, this is Steve Gala from USA Today, analyst for TheHuddle.com. And you have a little announcement, and we just felt it would be nice to help spread the word.
Well, I appreciate that, but I'll tell you what, before I get to that, I'll say that I was buying heavy on Kenny Britt, too, so I kind of feel the sting of what happened with Bradford. I feel real bad for the guy. But, yeah, as far as the announcement goes, been teasing it all summer, and we finally launched the Blitzed podcast today. Initially, it was going to be an all-IDP podcast, but my boss decided that he wanted to try and make me cover both sides of the ball. So rather than just give in and do offense only, we're actually going to be unique and cover both sides of the ball, lean towards IDP with it. And our first two guests on the episode that you can get at The Huddle right now is David Dory, who's one of the co-founders of The Huddle, and John Tubey, who's one of our senior NFL analysts. And then next week we have Herm Edwards on the show and Goose Island Brewing. What we're going to have on Blitz podcast every week is an episode called Tapped In, where one of our writers for The Huddle and co-host with me, Harley Schultz, who's very connected in the beer, wine, and liquor industry, is going to interview one of the microbrews across the country to help, you know, keep our beer-drinking football fans happy.
Well, you just can't do any better than that with Mike, some nice microbrews making a comeback in the country like it should, and get some variety out there instead of, well, I won't even go there. But I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah, absolutely. We're very psyched. It's been I'll tell you, you guys put on a great show, and you know what it takes behind the scenes to get stuff like this up and running. And we're hosting it at The Huddle ourselves. We're having a little trouble getting it up to iTunes, but it'll wind up there. But there's a lot of stuff that goes on behind the scenes that people that listen to your show and other shows don't realize. So all the kudos that you guys get for having your show, you deserve it in tenfold, because it's not near as easy as I thought it was going to be. We've got our work cut out for us to make sure that everybody's happy with what we put forward.
Yeah, I'm not afraid to say iTunes is a nightmare, Steve, so I feel you there. It will just show up one day. And then just so you know, one day it'll just disappear, too, and you may have to start that feed over again. So, Steve, why don't you tell everybody when it's on, where they can find it, and all the pertinent details.
Sure. They can find it right now at thehuddle.com. It's not subscriber content, so anybody can get it. It's called the Blitz Podcast. It's on our main page. We're shooting to have it released for Thursdays. We got this one out a little bit early. Next week we're going to have it launched hopefully by Wednesday so that it's a little more pertinent prior to the games kicking off Thursday night. But it's going to be a Thursday release. You'll be able to find it at The Huddle. It's got a direct MP3 link, so you don't even have to download it. And then hopefully we'll get it up to iTunes shortly, like I said. And it's going to be an all-inclusive type football show. We really feel that the lines are not as dramatic as people would have you think between real NFL and fantasy football. And we're going to try and walk that line between that area and have on guys that have played, coached, and scouted in the NFL, as well as fantasy analysts, and give you one take and then turn it into the other take so that it helps make everybody a slightly better fantasy player, hopefully. And that way you can make some money at the end of the year, too.
Yeah, that's a good point. We try to do that ourselves, get guys like you on. We've had players, and we actually do another incarnation of our show. We have, from an agent's perspective, we have NFL agents on. And, you know, it's good to give as much information to, you know, especially like what you would consider, I guess, the casual fantasy owner. It's a lot of – I think it's a little different take, and it's nice to see instead of, well – he had 82 catches, so I think he's going to be good. Well, anybody can look up stats. I kind of like the different approach that you're taking. We try to do that, and some people call us idiots, but we like doing it anyway.
I'm right there with you. I'll tell you what, next week, I'm really excited for next week's show, because I can't tell you how many times that I'm on radio shows and different podcasts, and people ask me to explain the difference between a 4-3 and a 3-4 defense. And next week we have Herm Edwards for almost around 40 minutes, and that's pretty much all he does is talk X's and O's. And what he brings to the table is just simply fascinating. So I think the guys are really going to get a kick out of listening. This week's episode, of course, is great with David Dory and John Tubey, but next week what they're going to get from Herm, I really think is going to make people sit back and look at the game slightly differently.
Yeah, I think to get that perspective, a defensive mind like Herm Edwards, especially focusing on an IDP format and the kind of numbers you can expect by understanding the defense, that's a great get, and I know we'll be listening to that one.
Well, you know what else we try to tell people is that the reaction is a reaction. So don't think that just because we're talking IDP doesn't mean there's not value for offensive players, because that's what we're going to try and tackle and make you understand why things are going to help a defensive player and how it plays into the offensive guy that they'll be going up against. So there'll be a little bit of something for everybody.
Well, that sounds good, Steve. I really, really glad you come on for a few minutes. I knew you didn't have a whole lot of time. We talked earlier, but I'm glad we got you on. We did, and we'll certainly be listening in, and good luck with it.
Thank you, man. I appreciate you guys and help me out. And if I can ever return the favor, just feel free to reach out.
All right. Sounds good, Steve. Take care. That's Steve Gallo from the Blitz Podcast. We'll talk to you again soon.
Take care.
All right, Rick. Herm Edwards. Now, that's a get right there.
Yeah. Yeah, as a matter of fact, that's I think Herm's been, you know, been around the game a year or two.
Might know a little bit about it. An entertaining guy, too, so definitely check that out. The Blitz Podcast, thehuddle.com. Check that out. Steve Gallo from USA Today. Rick. So back to the headlines ever forward here. We've got so much to do tonight. Let me – what were we talking about? I got – I'm all out of whack here. Talking about Wes Welker, I believe, Sam Bradford. Now, Cam Newton, Rick, has a rib fracture. Uncertain but optimistic for week one. Something to keep an eye on. I don't think it's going to keep him out long term. But if you're a Cam Newton owner, you might want to make sure you have a second quarterback on your roster. It's about the only advice I can give you for that.
Yeah, no doubt about that. And I don't know what they're going to do. I mean, you know, I don't know. We just have to wait until so,
yeah. That'll come down. Listen to that blitz. That's what we didn't mention, Rick. 1 week from Sunday, 1 week from this coming Sunday, September 6th, the Sunday morning Inside Slant will be back Sunday, 10 o'clock Eastern on Blog Talk Radio, AsylumFantasySports.com. We will give you all these last-minute injury updates, headlines. We'll pick the games. We'll give you a keeper. We'll give you starts and sits, answer all your questions, all your tweets, all your phone calls. Have our buddy Scott Fish on to help take your phone calls and answer those questions and those lineup decisions. So, Rick, about a week and a half away from the Inside Slant coming back, and it's my favorite show of the week.
Oh, yeah, I just cannot wait. And, you know, the phone calls, all the emails, and, you know, it's fun getting – you know, we get a lot of these questions about draft strategy this time of year. And, you know, not when the season starts, it's kind of like, okay, now who do I start?
Right.
Bell or Bernard or whatever. That's fun.
Right. And it's not a theory anymore. It's the real deal, and it's setting that lineup, and it's looking at matchups. So, again, starting September 6th, 10 o'clock Eastern, Blog Talk Radio and AsylumFantasySports.com. Look for the Inside Slant with Fleeger and Briggs. We'll have all your information there. Rick, Brandon Merriweather at it again, catches a two-game suspension for that hit on Torrey Holt last week. This guy's a menace to the league. That was a brutal, brutal hit. I did see Torrey Smith come out and said he didn't feel Merriweather could be suspended. Shouldn't be suspended, I mean. I'd listen to that argument if that wasn't, what, the 15th time this has happened with this guy. What bothers me is only a two-game suspension. Back to the Ray Rice, only a two-game suspension. We're talking about Josh Gordon being out for a year. We're talking about Matt Prater being out for 4 weeks. Why are these violent acts, be it on the field or in an elevator in a casino, valued so much lower than the substance abuse policy in the league?
I don't know. It's just terrible. The inconsistency the NFL is showing is, I don't know. It's just ridiculous. I just don't get it.
I think you could make an argument that Brandon Merriweather should be suspended for a season, for a calendar year. This happens every year. This continues to happen over and over again.
I agree. And it's sending a message. Hey, look, they tout player safety. They want longer seasons. They want expanded playoffs, and then when they have the opportunity to make an example out of somebody who is clearly doing nothing but headhunting.
Oh, a wanton disregard for player safety.
It just shows that they're a paper tiger when it comes to this kind of stuff.
Right.
When it actually affects their game.
Exactly.
And it's just appalling.
And I don't understand it. It's so frustrating. I understand it's easy to put a substance abuse policy on paper, attach punishments to it, and enforce that. I think you've got to come up with something similar in this realm at the exact same time. And that's what I want to see. And I'm tired of Roger Goodell. It just really comes. I'm no fan of sissifying this game and playing this touch football they want to touch. I'm the first one to come out here and scream that. I'll grant you that. But this Merriweather character, this dude's at a completely other level. Well, we could beat that to death, Rick. Zach Stacy, your boy, still the number one back per the Rams, even though he was not the starter and didn't play much in week three of the preseason. Having a terrible camp, take it what you will. I think there is more to it than just giving Benny Cunningham some carries behind the first team offensive line, Rick. But Zach Stacy, right now they're saying he's still at the top of that depth chart.
I think he is, but, you know, with Bradford out, and look, I wasn't super high on Sam Bradford, but he's been the quarterback there a while, and, you know, they're going down to Sean Hill. A lot of the Rams are just stepping back for me, you know, Stacy being one of them. And I was very high on him going into this year. They got a brutal defense. Their offensive line had beefed up, you know, and he showed some pretty good success last year. The addition of Kenny Britt, I was biting hard on that. I thought it was just going to upgrade that core. And now it's just really down, you know, with that ACL tear.
Right, and a lot of it goes back to Sam Bradford. Zach Stacy just sluggish at camp is the word I kept reading from people out of St. Louis. It was just sluggish. Maybe he puts it together. Maybe he's more of a gamer than a practice guy. You didn't hear his practice habits discussed last year, but we saw the success in the games. But he's a guy, he's moved down to a mid-level number two running back for me, whereas I know you had him as a number one, a low-end one, but a one most of the offseason.
Yeah, I did. There's no question, but he's RB2 right now for me. And, you know, you're gambling right now.
Yeah.
I mean, till I see something, look, like we said before, Sean Hill could come in and be the next, you know, Josh McCown
possibly
in Chicago. But I just don't think that's going to happen this year.
It doesn't look like it. I know you were high on all of those Raiders wide receivers, Rick. Something you might want to just take a pause.
Yeah.
Matt Schaub missing practice with elbow tendonitis. So you just might want to take a step back there just in case.
Yeah. Denarius Moore just ticked down to 65.
And, Rick, finally, Matt Castle named the official starter for the Vikings going into week one. I don't think a big surprise, and I think some good news for the likes of Cordell Patterson, Kyle Rudolph, and Adrian Peterson.
Yeah, I'm not going to dump all over Matt Castle. He's had a couple of rough years, no question about it. I'm not saying he's going to succeed like he did that one year at 11-5 with New England. However, he's a veteran. He's had some success. He obviously is well-liked and respected by the offense. In fact, Adrian Peterson said this is the offense he's been waiting for. And I think that's just good news for them. And we've talked about this for weeks. It's going to be an offensive air show in that NFC North. They're going to have to score points. And, yeah, I think it's good news for Cordell Patterson.
Right, and an amazing rapport with Kyle Rudolph to the point where I've moved Kyle Rudolph up to my number five tight end in my rankings. That's how solid of a rapport they have with North Turner coming in. So I like that. I like that tandem there. So I think a good move for the Vikings. Good move for Teddy Bridgewater. Let him get some seasoning under. Let him get a season under his belt. And I think it only bodes well for his future. So, Rick, as we have mentioned over and over and over again, it is draft week. Something I wanted to talk about. I just went in and took this week up till today, last Wednesday today, so mainly encompassing last weekend. That was probably the first official draft weekend. I wouldn't be drafting last weekend, but going into this one, a lot of drafts. And some things I found interesting, some things that have changed since all the off-season mocks, and we were pulling ADPs from mocks and all the early-season drafters. And the first thing I've noticed for a long time, you saw Peyton Manning with an ADP of about 9, 10, even an 11 and 12. He was right at that turn. He's up to 6, Rick, on my fantasy league in the last week. And, in fact, now, and these things always, and we talked about this. Yeah. I don't remember what show. We talked about it. When your real drafts come, you're going to see these quarterbacks. Remember, we're seeing Aaron Rodgers going in the 4th round. We were seeing Drew Brees going in the 5th round. Here we are. The real draft started after 1 week. Peyton Manning's going 6. Aaron Rodgers is going 12th. Now we have two quarterbacks with first-round ADPs.
Yeah, and it tells you now that there's a lot of drafts going on. There's a lot of the casual players going on. Got to get my Peyton Manning. Got to get whatever. And, that's just what happens. You know, these guys start creeping into the first round. And what usually happens in a lot of these, I don't know what you want to call them, casual leagues, neighborhood leagues, whatever, is those big splash, big-name guys go early. Peyton Manning, Calvin Johnson, Aaron Rodgers. Everybody heard of these guys.
Calvin Johnson's up to about 5 on his ADP.
You're right. So, but you're going to see the quarterbacks creep in. Everybody wants to get that big quarterback.
Right, and Monte Ball, Rick, dropped to 18.9, so basically falling to 19th after running a pretty solid ADP of 11, 12, 13, somewhere in that realm. So I think the prospect of him maybe missing one game is scaring owners off. It's not going to scare me off. And if I can get that kind of value on Monte Ball, I'm going to take it.
Oh, no question about that. I mean, with that Denver offense, I'm high on Denver again, like last year, the players on there. I mean, you just can't help. You watch Peyton Manning pick defenses apart. I know it was preseason, but nothing really changes when a regular season shows up. He just goes through the Omahas and tears you apart.
Right. I don't think he's going to throw for 55 again or whatever he threw for last year. I think he regresses a little bit, but I don't think he regresses into the 30s either. I think this is a 42 to 46 touchdown guy. And it just bodes well for everybody.
Yeah, everybody can't have 55 touchdowns, but, we have these things.
Rick's got a draft coming up at 8 o'clock. Apparently Rick's ready to roll now, as you can hear Commissioner Goodell in the background. So, Rick, we got a call on the line, code 609. How you doing tonight?
Yo, gentlemen, we got Jersey in the house here for a new upcoming year. How you guys making out?
Jersey, I am not kidding you. We were just talking about you before we went on the air.
Yeah, I was tied up doing something else. Hey, quick question. And that wacky PPR, like I drafted 4th. So I went Forte 1st. I took Brandon Marshall 2nd. I went Gronkowski 3rd in the 3rd round. A little bit of a gamble, but, sometimes you got to do it. I took Jennings 4th. 5th was Roddy White. 6th was Cutler. 7th, Sanders. Now, in this wacky league, like you said, you get 10-point rushing touchdown, point for every 10 yards. Quarterbacks go goofy. I mean, by the time I drafted Cutler in the 6th round, by the 3rd round, Stafford was gone. It was just retarded, that these guys panicked. So based on my first 7 guys, how do I sound? Not too bad, you think, this year? Bailey's my kicker. I got the Broncos and Saints defense. My last pick was Reuben Randall in the 16th round where you could pick somebody. So, and I also picked up Fred Jackson as a backup and Lance Dunbar. He could be this year's Joint Bell with that Linehan situation. So what do you think of what I got from that wacky scoring system?
Well, I got to tell you, Jersey, I got Forte ranked number 1. And not a lot of people agree with that, but I love the Forte pick. This guy in a PPR format, he's going to find the end zone because he's going to touch the ball so much. Brandon Marshall, I think he's a no-brainer right there. Gronk's a risk. In this scoring system you have, he's going to be huge if he stays healthy. Down, Rashard Jennings, this is a guy I am so high on, Rick. We talked about him on the Fantasy Sports Network show. This is a guy I've got ranked about 13, 14 now, and I think he may go up as he looks to be a bigger part of that passing game. So Jersey, Rick, I'll give you a turn here, but I think Jersey's got himself a solid foundation here.
Oh, I think he's got a really good team. Yeah, you do have a little bit of risk with Gronk, no question about that. Right. But, you bolstered up with, who was it, Rashard Jennings, you have Fred Jackson.
Roddy White, the guy I'm still high on.
Oh, yeah, Roddy White. I love Roddy White going into this year. I think he's going to have a monster year. I think the Atlanta's going to have a monster year. I think that's awesome there. And
would you start Roddy White over Sanders all year long? I'm thinking I would. He was hurt last year. But Sanders, you know, like I said, in preseason got 120 yards, 2 touchdowns. That's if Wes Walker gets hurt or whatever. But would you still probably play Roddy White over Saunders? Because I think he can play two receivers.
Well, I couldn't hear the last part because old Fido there was tearing it up. But, certainly can't say that I would start every week over Manny Sanders because Manny Sanders starts putting up Eric Decker numbers. That could be very difficult to justify.
Right.
That.
I think
so you just had to monitor that.
Week 1 through 3, I'm starting Rod White, but keep an eye on Sanders. And if he does slide Decker role like he looked like in that third preseason game, maybe we have that conversation. But to start the year, Roddy White's your number two wide receiver.
All right, I'll keep doing that. And I hope if Cutler stays healthy, I mean, granted, I would have taken him in the sixth round. It should have went later, but the way all these quarterbacks were going, I mean, it was almost 12 quarterbacks taken by the fifth round. I'm like, are you kidding me? So when I saw Cutler, I figured he's my best chance. I could team him up with Forte, and Marshall was my thing because I wasn't going to jump in the first two rounds, or the first three rounds for one of those for Stafford, Breeze, Manning, or Rodgers. I just felt there was more value later on, but these guys just went goofy in this draft. So, hey, last question. I don't know. I have a standard draft next Tuesday. It's a 12-person draft there. Don't know where we're going to be there. So basically, use the same, in that kind of format. Forte, again, he's more of a PPR thing, but for a running back, like if I get the top four, I guess you're looking at like a Peterson, a Charles or McCoy, or what do you think about, the guy from Lacy? Let's say Lacy could be a beast this year in any format. What's your feeling on that? My last question, guys.
I think in a standard format, I think it stays pretty steady. McCoy, Peterson, Charles, any order, I think I don't mind
right.
that. I think in a standard format, you see Forte drop out, and I do have Lacy jumping above Forte in a standard. I think you're relying on the PPR rig for Forte to have its maximum value.
Well, that's true.
Okay.
I really like Lacy. They're planning on using him fairly heavy. And that's a good sign coming out of Green Bay. You know, but bear in mind, I mean, PPR, you do get points for the receptions, but you also get points for yardage as well, correct? So, you know.
We get a point for every 10 yards and extra bonus points, extra 5 bonus points for 100 yard, over 100 yards.
Right. So bear in mind, you know, you just have to kind of put total yards in your head. Is not just, how many catches is he going to have? Because, you know, maybe he has 60 catches, but if he has another 700 yards receiving, I mean, that's a lot of points right there, too. So you just kind of have to put total yards in your head and not just points per reception. You know what I'm saying?
Yep, know exactly what you're saying. Hey, guys, I really appreciate it. It's a good way to start my year. Best of luck to you guys in drafts that you've already done or are going to be doing, too. So my last one is Tuesday the 2nd. So, again, I appreciate the chat. Best of luck to you guys this year. Have a safe holiday, Labor Day weekend and holiday, and appreciate your help again. Take care. Thanks a lot.
Well, Jersey, we certainly appreciate you calling in, and don't forget a week from this coming Sunday is going to be our live Sunday morning show, The Inside Slant, so we certainly look for you to call in.
And what time will that be? Because I want to mark that down now. What time on that Sunday will it be?
10 o'clock, 10 to 11 Eastern.
That's right, 10 to 11. I want to make sure. Okay, guys, I'll be talking to you then. I appreciate it, and have a nice holiday. Thanks again.
You too. Thanks a lot, Jersey.
Take care.
Great to hear from you again. Well, I love Jersey, Rick. Now it's football season.
Well,
Jersey's back. Now it's football season.
Big text in the chat room just wrote, it's official now, football season.
That's right. Jersey on the asylum. Love that cat, man. I love talking to him, and it's great to hear from him again.
He got a good team.
Yeah, I do like it. You know how I feel about Forte. And he does, and this is the league. He's Jersey. This is probably the third or fourth season.
Yeah.
You know, we talked to Jersey, and it's 10. I like that. That's kind of neat. 10-point rushing touchdown really puts a value on the running backs.
Right.
And I think Forte gives you that option. You know how I feel about Forte. I know I'm a little higher on him, but again, they're in that top five that you don't dispute.
And you know I like Roddy White and Brandon Marshall. So
he got a lot of Bears there. I wonder about that. I'm a little nervous about that. Although that Bears offense is going to be pretty darn good.
Yeah,
so.
That's true. They better have a good year. They're going to have to, I think, with Rodgers back healthy and Cobb and Nelson back healthy and Eddie Lacy at run game. I think Chicago's going to have to score points.
Right. So let's get back, Rick, just a couple more of these ADP things I've noticed. Le'Veon Bell's dropped to 25. Yeah, assuming with everything going on, do you believe that's a bit of an overreaction, or is there some reason for concern even outside of his legal troubles?
I don't know. I'm still pretty high on the Pittsburgh offense. I think they're going to be okay. What happens with Bell and Blunt, I'm not sure. That's a concern with me, but if this stuff drags out like Marshawn Lynch did, I'm not all that concerned. And so, you know, I haven't really moved him. You know, I think he's like 13th.
I dropped him a couple spots, but I still have him as a number one. I think you got him right. We got him right at the end of being a number one. Again, back to who were we talking about before, suspended or missing one game. Back to the Monty Ball point. With a one-game suspension, are you willing to give up that value? I'd almost rather take a loss in week one and take all these guys that are suspended the first week that have better value than leap somebody over them to get that one more game. I'm not going to put – I don't think – Le'Veon Bell's not going to catch a long suspension. If he catches any suspension at all this season, that's going to come from the Steelers if it does.
Right.
The way for him to drop this far, this guy was steadily going 16, 17, 18. I mean, every draft, it went hit Bell – it went Ball, it went Bernard, and it went Stacy. Those four in a row, every time
right.
You can pick the order. Now to drop to 25, I think people are panicking a little.
Yeah, I think it is a bit of a panic, quite frankly. I don't think he's going to be severely punished unless the Steelers take a hard line, but it certainly doesn't look like it right now.
I think it would have happened by now, or you'd have heard rumblings. I think something happens. I don't think they just walk away from this, from Mike Tomlin, as angry as he's seen. Did you see that post-game press conference?
Well, yeah.
He's in a sour mood for the way they played, but
yeah.
But he wasn't playing. He had no patience for that stuff.
No, and I don't blame him. I mean, it's just he's sitting in a parking lot. I mean, come on. I mean, you know. Yeah, we were smarter than that when we were in high school.
Yeah, really. You do it at home. You,
yeah.
You do the thing. You do the thing where you, not that I just saw this in movies and stuff, Rick. Would you roll up the towel and put it up against the door because that way no one would ever know what you were doing in there? Did you do that thing?
No. I grew up in the 70s.
Well, that's true. Nobody cared back then.
No.
Speaking of that, there was that Twitter conversation you had with Ty Miller. I need to remind you to ask you about it. You're probably not going to tell that story on the air, I'm assuming.
No.
I can't get it out of you now.
No.
Maybe we do a special bonus show. Will you tell that story?
I don't know if I'll tell the story. No, I mean,
you got to tell me the story off the air anyhow. I'm very curious about this.
It was just a great concert. I mean, let's face it, it was the Outlaws in 1977.
Right.
I mean, that.
But something
just
happened to change your life, according to that Twitter
just
conversation.
Just made an impression.
A profound impression, I believe
you
said. So, well, let's keep it to fantasy. God, Rick, we only got 15 minutes left. Let's talk about some
draft week, buddy.
That's right. Let's talk about some draft strategy in draft week. And I'll no structure to this, Rick. Just in general, as we got an online draft here right at 8 o'clock, right as we go off the air, it's going to start my legacy league that I am the defending champion in, finally. You've heard me whine about this league on these airways plenty of times if you listen to the show for a while. Rick has now become part of the fold, joining up with that league. We've got our live draft Friday for the what do you call it, the League of Consequence.
That's right. That's our League of Consequence.
The Caveman League. So just rattling around in that old bald head of yours, draft strategies. What are you thinking? What are you leaning? What's your gut telling you? Just anything. Open forum here.
I am. If you know, you look at your wherever your position is. Obviously, if I am looking at 1 through 5, it's a no brainer. I'm taking a running back, and you know. But as far as you know, the old thunder and lightning, Ten Commandments. You know, I think maybe there may be a moment where you may be walking around in your yard again, where lightning may strike you again. Because
yeah.
I think maybe these stone tablets maybe have a bit of a change to them.
Yeah, they're getting a little loose right now.
Yeah.
At least number one, number one.
The thing is, there's just so much, and it's like we talked about this before. You can name, say, 5 or 6 top-tier receivers, quote-unquote elite, maybe 7 or 8. I mean, just depending on who you throw in there. Running backs, you have 5.
Right.
I mean, that's just simple as that. You got Lacy, Forte, Charles, McCoy, and Peterson. In any order that you want, that's your elite. when you drop off, and just for argument's sake, say you have Dez Bryant, Calvin Johnson, Julio Jones, Brandon Marshall, Demaryius Thomas, and I don't know if I'm missing someone as your top-tier wide receivers, okay?
Okay.
And maybe there's another couple in there that you may want to throw in there. But once you go, once you get out of that elite status, quote-unquote, for wide receivers, if you drop down to your next tier, which might be Alshon Jeffrey seems much more palatable to me as a first overall pick than, say, Zach Stacy.
Right, right.
Because there's such a drop-off from that top-tier running backs than there is in wide receivers. There's more wide receiver depth and more parity, I guess, if you, for lack of a better word. So, you know, being in the middle and later rounds, I think it may behoove you to go, you know, stud wide receiver.
I agree.
And then try, like you say, the term you like, which I really like, cobble together some running backs later on.
Because I think taking, if you use your strategy, you know what, on the flip side of that, Rick, rather than expand on your point, I think you made it well. If I take that running back, one of those first five, up through and including Eddie Lacy, the five we all agree on, if I'm coming back around in the second round, I'm going to assume if most people have implemented the strategy you're talking about, which seems to be the way drafts are going, save for some rogue Monty Ball, Le'Veon Bell, Marshawn Lynch picks, a lot of that's the way it's going. So when I come back around in the second round and I'm in that top five and say I'm sitting there at three with Adrian Peterson, I think then generally I think that first tier of wide receivers is dried up. I think my value there is to get the next running back. I think if you choose to go running back first, that's what you've chosen as the identity of your team. Back to your point, if you're drafting at the end and you go Jimmy Graham or one of the wide receivers, I think that's become the identity of your team. So I think the value then at the beginning of the draft is I'm going to take my Adrian Peterson third, go ahead and give me Arian Foster slash maybe Gio Bernard Falls slash maybe Zach Stacy, Le'Veon Bell, whoever falls at the end of that first round. And then when I come back to the third round, I'll cobble together those wide receivers because now I'm getting into another tier there. So right. I think in both strategies, you're drafting from the beginning of whatever tier you're on. In the first round, in the first five picks, you're drafting from the first tier running backs. The next six picks, you're drafting from the first tier of wide receivers. Then you flip it back. You're finishing the first tier of wide receivers.
Then you
and now you're getting into the second tier of running backs. And I think everybody, if you follow that, that's where you're going to get your most competitive league because at each turn you're at the beginning of a tier instead of finishing out a tier to try and just fill positions. Well, I got my running back. I need a wide receiver. That's not the case.
Yeah, the thing is, don't draft that way. That commandment does not change.
Right.
Don't draft to fill positions. Go for the best player available. Obviously, when you're getting down to your last few and you don't have a tight end or something, you have to draft one. I understand that. But for the reason, like you said, if you had, I don't know, say you had Brandon Marshall, Roddy White, and Julio Jones, as a crazy thing that you get. But you were going and you say, well, I've got my wide receivers. Now I need a running back. But if, say, you had drafted, I don't know, I'm just trying to come up with something, you know, if LeSean McCoy was there and you had two running backs or whatever on your roster, you draft him. You draft the best player.
Right.
It's just that simple.
And I think the point, what comes out of all that long, drawn-out explanation, start the runs, number one. Don't end them.
Right.
Draft off the top of the tier. You know, now, look, if you come through and you follow that strategy and you're around four and you got three wide receivers, all right, it's running back time. Granted, you do that, but draft off the top of the tier. Tier your rankings. Take our rankings. Tier them. Send me a tweet. I'll tier them for you.
Sure.
But tier them and work off the top of your tier. And I think that's the A number one strategy. This year more than in years past, I preached, Rick, and you preached, pushing running backs. Put lesser-tiered running backs ahead of wide receivers. Those days are done. It's pure and simple. The way the league has gone, those days are done. You still need a good running back stable to win. I will not back off of that. However, those days are done.
Yeah, I agree. And if you're looking for advice, you know, going into some last-minute draft strategy or just in-season advice, you know, obviously we want you to tune into the live show, The Inside Slant, on Sunday mornings. But, you know, we encourage you to shoot us an email. You know, Twitter's good. I mean, you can go, you know, Bell or Bernard, well, then you answer back Bernard.
Right.
But, you know, an email, you can lay out your question, your dilemma, and we actually have a little bit of room to extrapolate an answer and give you some reasoning and make it sound, you know, logical instead.
Give us the background of your team. We need to know who your receivers
are.
Yeah,
your scoring system, that kind of thing, who you have on the bench and so forth. So, you know, asylumfootball@gmail.com, asylumfantasysports@gmail.com. So, you know, just drop us a line, and don't be afraid to throw in a few details.
Any guys, Rick, middle-round guys you're targeting, you may be bumping up, you're looking, hoping make it to you, or you may even jump up a round or so higher to get your hands on? Everybody's got three or four of those guys in the back of their head walking into every draft.
Yeah, there's a couple. I mean, I'm looking at, like you, I mean, you're the same way. You're a lot higher on Jennings than I am, but I really do like Rashad Jennings.
I'm really high on Rashad Jennings.
And you know what? I'm liking Toby Gerhart. And, you know, Jones-Drew, he certainly had plenty of success there with not a very good team.
Right. And Gerhart, he's not exciting. He's not a sexy pick. He's going to be a volume play. Who's it? Storm Johnson? Isn't that who's behind him some donkey like that? I mean.
And here's a guy, you can just call him. He's not a rookie, but he's a very, very fresh player. He
feels like Michael Turner a little bit, doesn't he, when he went to Atlanta?
Right. He has no mind, and he's a big back. He's a very big back. You know, and I'm not real high on DeSean Jackson in Washington. I see a clash of attitudes there. And I still see that image of DeSean Jackson sitting on the end of the bench. I can just see it in Michael Vick. Even Michael Vick. Sitting there trying to talk him back. He won't even make eye contact with him. Had nothing to do with him. I like Cordell Patterson with the way Minnesota's going right now. They're really buying into the North Turner system. Waiting for. And I think Castle can have success there.
Right, and we talked about him earlier. I've moved Kyle Rudolph up to the top five of my tight ends. North Turner's offenses are that good for the tight end position. You have seen it in the preseason. You've seen the rapport between Matt Castle. Kyle Rudolph is a guy, when the panic starts right after Gronk gets drafted in the third or fourth round, and then Julius Thomas goes, and then Witten goes, and then Vernon Davis goes, when that panic happens, I'll go ahead and wait three more rounds, Rick, grab Kyle Rudolph, and I think I'm going to get a top five tight end. That's a guy I'm seriously, seriously watching, and I can see myself drafting him around earlier probably than his ADP to make sure I get him. I believe that much in him.
Yeah, I agree. I tell you, one other guy that I'm looking at that's probably going to have a really cheap price tag, Brandon LaFell, with New England.
Yeah, you've heard a lot coming out about him. We talked about at the beginning of this show when talking about Tim Wright. This is a tough offense to pick up on. You saw Ocho Cinco struggle mightily. But you saw Randy Moss come in and pick it right up. Now, Brandon LaFell ain't Randy Moss. I don't think I'm breaking any news there. But I like what I'm hearing coming out of there. Belichick praising a guy. You don't hear that very often. Tom Brady loves him. Brandon LaFell sticking up head and shoulders above Tompkins and Dobson and guys we overdrafted last year who didn't end up working out. If you get Gronk back, you got Brandon LaFell as that outside threat. He's a guy, you can have him for a song. What's his ADP? Are you about an eighth, ninth rounder somewhere there?
And the thing is, if this offense, if these guys stay healthy, let's not forget Tompkins was banged up last year. Dobson had that foot injury last year. Gronk was hurt last year. And New England waltzed to the division title. These guys stay healthy. Tom Brady is going to have a field day this year.
Oh, no question.
There's no question in my mind.
How about another guy I'm talking about? How about right there, Tom Brady? You can get this guy in the sixth round.
Yeah.
I don't think – right now I have him ranked at 10. I think I've got him ranked too low. He's ranked at 10 because I'm not 100% convinced – that Gronk is ready to roll week one and is completely healthy. If I see it, once I get myself convinced, if Tom Brady's sitting around the seventh round of my draft, Tom Brady's going to be on every stinking one of my fantasy squads.
Yeah, I agree 100%. I mean, that New England should just waltz to this division title.
Well, yeah. Who provides any? We've seen over and over again how awful Buffalo is.
Yeah, I mean, Buffalo just really can't seem to provide any improvement. Miami, so many questions down there with that shuffled offensive line. And, you know, there's just a lot of question marks with the run game and so forth. And then you have the Jets. Somehow Rex Ryan seems to throw, you know, a contender together. And they've upgraded a wide receiver with Eric Decker. I think they've upgraded a running back with Chris Johnson. He's certainly not, you know, the Chris Johnson of old, but he's certainly an upgrade, I think. And Geno Smith seems to be playing well. So I think it's almost status quo. New England, the Jets, Miami, Buffalo.
Yeah, right. And I'm starting to think more and more of Chris Johnson. I like the role he's played in that Jets offense. It looks like if he can stay healthy and within reason, he's going to get, Rick, 70-75% of the workload up there. He's not as fast as he once was, but this guy, he's a value. You never thought you could discuss Chris Johnson as a value, but
yeah,
that's a guy I'm targeting too.
Yeah.
If I'm using this end of the draft strategy, and of course I'm drafting seventh in every stinking draft I'm in this year, and I go ahead and do that wide receiver. When I get to the fifth, sixth round, and I'm looking for that second or third running back, Chris Johnson's a guy I've got my eye on.
Yeah, no question about that. And I think he'll be a good value. And, I mean, just this year, it was in some auction leagues. He went very cheap. And I don't think it's going to be any different in these redrafts.
No.
I think he's going to fall to a very good value draft round.
Yeah, you're going to see him sixth, seventh round, somewhere in there. And I think if you're looking for a third back, I think that's the direction to go. You know, maybe some guys dropping off my radar. Rick Wes Welker's a guy I always target, even at his heyday. You could get him as a number two wide receiver, sometimes a three. I think I'm out on Wes Welker. I just think, yeah, I worry about the concussions. You know, a guy I'm watching stay with that team, Emmanuel Sanders. We talked to Jersey about it. Boy, it's looking like he could fill that Eric Decker role. I don't know if he does it week in or week out. But you know Peyton Manning will exploit that matchup, and if Demaryius Thomas is drawing too much coverage, Emmanuel Sanders has the ability to get over the middle and make a difference and make the plays, and Emmanuel Sanders is a guy in that fifth and sixth round, if I'm looking for my third wide receiver, love to have. I think Emmanuel Sanders is the top of the number three wide receiver tier right now.
Oh, no question. He's on the Denver Broncos. And yeah, I love that Denver team, so, you know, offensively. So, yeah, he certainly wants somebody to be targeting.
All right, Rick. Well, that's it. Last show of draft week. We got 2 minutes to go. You are going to be on the clock here in 2 minutes in the Dewey Melon Ball League about to draft LeSean McCoy. I don't think you need to take any time to do a lot of thought about that.
No. It's actually a keeper league, and the team that I inherited kept Zach Stacy. And not quite as high as I was probably 2 weeks ago on Zach Stacy, but
got
still
that first pick.
Still saw I got first pick, and lo and behold, LeSean McCoy was not kept.
Right.
So I have no problem
with
that.
And you thought of Forte over McCoy? They were the only two of the big five available.
He's the only one that I'm thinking about. So, but I think I'm going McCoy.
Yeah, I don't think any doubt. Well, that's it. As Rick mentioned, get all those questions in asylumsports@gmail.com, at asylumfootball on Twitter.
Asylumfootball@gmail.com. Okay. Asylumfantasysports@gmail.com.
Yeah, what he said. Do that too.
Yeah.
So do that at asylumfootball on Twitter. Remember, on those email addresses or at asylumfootball on Twitter, let us know if you want in the Asylum Listener League, if you want that elusive Rick Briggs Asylum prize pack that he will not give up, let us know. We will draft next Wednesday, 7 o'clock. We'll be back next Wednesday, 7 o'clock. That will be the show, us analyzing that draft as it goes. Until then, Rick, we'll see you.
Take care.
Booties go. My verse is still be serving. Type like a million versions. Last time on a college remix. Now I'm on the original version. Can't never count me out. Y'all better count me in. Got 20 bank accounts. Accountants count me in. Make millions every year. But
And they stay there. And they stay there. Serving me.